Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with yours truly, Christy Marie and Julie. Stay tuned for tonight's show where we talk about the talk. Yes, that talk. And we talk about the flat earthers. No, not the Obama birthers, but the flat earthers. And we also talk about the titans of Mothra versus Godzilla and branding. Stay tuned.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christy Marie and Julie. I'm Julie.
And yes, you are. You are Julie Marie.
Yes.
And that leaves me as Christine Marie.
And if you don't know who we are, we're coaches. You're a psychotherapist. I'm getting my master's degree. And during this time, we like to have fun on Sunday nights, don't we?
We have iterated our show here.
Yes.
And it is plain and simple becoming more and more who we are.
When we're alone together.
When we're alone together.
Not our professional mask.
Not the cloak that we wear.
Or right.
The mask that we wear.
And I think we're both coughing because I forget how much carbs I have during Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah.
And let's just be real here.
Yeah.
Unless you go out and eat, it's a weekend because
it's impossible to not have leftovers.
Yes. I was taking Elliot for a walk the other day, yesterday, and I picked up his girlfriend, Kay Lou, Labradoodle,
yeah.
Same age.
Yeah.
Neither one sheds. Kind of nice. They leave no DNA behind. And she's a cute little Labradoodle, and she's small for her size, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And she's skinny. I mean, you can actually feel her ribs.
Yeah. But she looks like Fozzie Bear, but all black. And she's just a cute dog. And I took her, picked her up, and she's got a brother and a sister at home that I leave behind because I can't handle four dogs when I take them out.
Now that sounds like a series.
Yeah,
the left behind
dogs.
Series.
They feel so rejected and like, why can't I go? Rejected and ejected. All the ejected words.
Left behind.
Yeah. And ejected.
Rejected, dejected, ejected.
Yeah. And and so I took him out, and the woman. I met another dog owner, which I have no idea what her name is, except that
you know the dog's name, though.
Libby is a dog's name, and she's only like 8 months old. And her and Elliot play around a little bit here and there. Mm-hmm. What was fascinating, though, is that she's like, I know, and she's a very slight woman. She goes, you just don't eat like this any other time in your life, but during Thanksgiving, not even Christmas, because. It's Saturday morning, and I chose to have pecan pie for breakfast. Who does that? Who chooses to have pecan pie for breakfast?
Right.
And then you'll go watch her on TV, and you'll be hit with every sad story saying, hey, don't forget this charity for Christmas. We could really use your money.
Right.
And these people aren't eating, and they live in a refugee camp. And I'm going, oh, my gosh, if I could send them all my leftovers, I would. If that was somehow feasible, I would definitely send them over leftovers.
I had a salad last night like a TV dinner, you know. And then Norm goes, but honey, we still have dressing. So he brought me this big bowl of dressing and stuffing, you know.
Yeah.
And I just like, I can't even look at it.
I can't look at it.
But it's interesting that you're talking about Libby and Elliot. And Libby's mom, like you said, you don't know her name. Excuse me. But she's trying to begin to teach Libby how to, you know, go through the hoops and jump over the things. And she was watching Elliot
at the obstacle course,
do his stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And
well, it was so funny because here he is. I'm just laughing at you right now because you have the microphone away from you because you're doing something that you think everybody else can hear, but which is not true. You know, I guess the Thanksgiving meal has ran through your colon system a little bit, hasn't it?
I need to take some more Culturelle.
Exactly.
I was thinking about Elliot, and she was like, oh my God, how do you do this? Elliot's going through the little pipe things and over the things and through the hoops.
Yeah.
And you turned her and you showed her that you had ham chunks.
Yes, ham chunks. Thanksgiving ham chunks.
And so she was like, oh my God. I just couldn't do that to little Libby.
Right.
And you said, well, there's a trainer out here that's an excellent trainer.
Yes.
People come from all over to get their dogs trained. And I talked to him one day and he said,
well, I saw what he was using for training treats. And he was using, what did I tell you? Hot dogs and cheese.
Right.
Pieces of hot dogs and cheese.
Yeah.
And he says, well, that's what she works with. That's what this dog likes.
She says this dog won't do like kibble.
Yeah.
If you want her to do something, hot dogs and cheese.
Yeah.
And the Libby's mom said, well, that would not work on Libby. My Libby would not do that.
No.
She just won't. No. I can't get her to do anything. And then Julie goes, here, have some ham.
Have some ham.
She says, no, I will, but you could watch. Yeah. She won't do it.
And then she goes over to her side and she takes the ham and she says, Libby, jump, jump. And she threw she had the hand by her nose and then jump. And sure enough, Libby jumped through the hoop and was like, I want some ham. And then she said, oh my gosh, this dog will do it for ham. I said, I don't know why, but I don't know why we're both coughing.
I don't know either.
Yeah. Crazy.
But you know how it said, like, you know, in the old time days, you know, we'll work for food.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll jump through hoops for ham.
Dogs will jump through hoops for ham.
That's right.
And I think people, I remember one trainer said, you know, bring chicken along, you know, not kibble. He's not that motivated for kibble.
Yeah.
And he'll eat his dog food.
Yeah.
But for training, you know, the rest of the world is more glamorous.
Yes.
But if you give him chicken or ham, he's like, well, you know, I'm pretty good with that ham. That's more interesting to me than these dogs over here.
Right.
But now the kibble, I get that every single day.
Exactly.
I don't need that.
I'll turn my nose down at that.
And poor little Elliot, because he doesn't get ham all the time.
No.
Because we had Thanksgiving dinner, he had ham. And boy, has he been drinking a lot of water, because it must be really salty.
So have I.
Yeah. Like, this has been a salty weekend. You know, I just decided I'm not going to get on the scale for a week. I'm just going to get right back on track.
No, just
don't. Why? What's the point? You know, why punish yourself?
Exactly.
Even though I had a plan that it was going to be like one day, a one meal.
We had a plan that was going to be no leftovers.
What happened to that plan?
Well, it looked like there wouldn't be any leftovers.
No.
But there was like days of leftovers.
I know. And I think that's probably because you're...
The thing that I was most amazed about, I go, this is decent food. It's good, you know. But I just felt like I missed texture. Everything felt like... Remember, like when you were a kid, little baby, you had pablum?
Yeah.
It was like, you know, the soft sweet potatoes.
Yeah.
Soft mashed potatoes.
Soft stuffing.
Stuffing or dressing.
Yeah.
You know?
Green bean casserole didn't have any texture to it.
It was just
that's standard, isn't it? That's just how that stuff is. Nothing has texture. So when I went and saw Doug Thursday night, he had Thanksgiving dinner with his family. I have it with my family. I prefer that. You know, I just prefer it because there's no point in us having to share, you know, like, hey, we'll do one or like, no, you go hang out with your family. I'll hang out with mine. And life is great.
It's not like we have kids.
It doesn't matter, you know, and so forth. But then after dinner, I went and saw him and we went and saw Justice League, that Batman movie. And I liked it. I really did. I know it didn't get great reviews. I'm not saying as good as Thor, but I certainly think it was decent enough to see, visually active for your eyes. Still a little dark. I don't know why they have to be so dark color-wise.
Mm-hmm. I don't understand that either.
Thor was overly bright.
Good, yeah.
But this was...
I'm anxious to see Thor.
I'm going to hold you to that, by the way. Mm-hmm. But anyway... We get a call from his sister, and his sister takes care of his brother and their brother, who is an adult but who has his abilities. And she's like, please bring me back this paper, you know, that has all the coupons, all the good stuff. So we've had to go to three different stores to actually find a paper that they still had all the coupons. Mm-hmm. So we got the coupons and brought it back. It was a $5 paper. Like, holy cow.
Wow.
That's a special edition. So I go in there, and the first thing they want to do is offer me food. And I am at my max.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to be rude. I'm like, well, sure, I'll have some more food. I can't possibly have, well, I can't say no, because the first thing she does was, oh, I made my mom, who has been, is now deceased for a year, I made my mom's favorite salad, and I like, you know, why don't you have some? I'm like, great, there's no coconut in it, right? And she goes, no, there's no coconut. I'm like, that's fine, because I hate coconut. And then, so she gave me some of it, and you know, it was that, like, kind of like tapioca orange, mandarin orange kind of salad.
That thing, okay.
So it wasn't really a salad, it was,
yeah,
it was dessert. Jello dessert, and then I just go, this is another thing that's just creamy.
Yeah.
There's no texture.
No texture.
So literally, I go to somebody else's house, and they give me something that's special in their mm-hmm. life, and I'm like, oh yeah, I can't wait, and it was just...
No texture.
No texture, it yeah. just looked like baby food.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking... You're right. You just missed texture.
Yeah.
Even the rolls, nothing had texture.
Nothing had texture.
And except for the ham. You're like, well, yeah. this is a little crispy.
Yeah.
You know, I like this ham. It's a little, got some kind of texture. And then you're thinking, what are the chefs of the world making on Thanksgiving Day? Because, yeah. you know, in their mind, they have to have, you know, is it got a little bit of sweet, got a little bit of savory, got a little bit of acid.
A little bit of umami.
Yeah. But they never say alkaline. Oh, you're missing a little alkaline. It's always, I'm missing a little acid, not alkaline, you know. And I mean, but what are they adding? What are they adding for texture? I know you used to make the green bean casserole, and you used to put water chestnuts in it.
You bet,
for a little bit of crunch,
crunch.
You know, a little something,
crunch, and the dried French onion rings,
which was supposed to be on this casserole that I bought, which it was nothing, zero,
no,
zero. I mean, there was some on there, but it just it was mush.
Yeah.
So, but so I mean, what do you do? You know?
Yeah. So basically, Thanksgiving is a textureless holiday.
Yes, it's baby food. It's baby
it's
food day.
It's pablum.
Exactly. It's all comfort food, I guess, because that's what babies need is comfort.
I don't know.
And then it just sits in your gut.
Yeah.
And it almost feels like paste. Like paste is just in your gut.
And then a couple hours later, you want some more paste.
Yes. Because you're like, I can't throw away this paste.
I got it.
This
paste is good. I want to put gravy on that paste.
Yeah. And either I'm going to eat this paste, or I'm going to actually make, you know, a figurine out of it.
Yeah.
And put newspaper on it.
And even the pies are like...
textureless.
Just pumpkin, which is just creamy.
Yeah.
You know, and then we didn't have any fruit pies.
No.
I know that you did at Doug's...
I had a little bit of cherry, I think it was.
Yeah.
And I don't even care. It was, nothing mattered anymore. At this point, nothing mattered.
Yeah.
And yet the next day, I still had some.
Yeah.
Because we had leftovers. And I could have just thrown them away. But it just felt so wasteful. Because that commercial, we've been programmed now, like, hey, we waste 40% of our food.
Yeah.
Don't do it. I'm like, well, if I don't waste it, I got to eat it. So I'm going to eat 40% more food.
Oh, my Lord.
So I've been trying to train myself to just buy the bare minimums.
Yes. Yeah.
We have our food storage for when the end times come. We can last 6 more months later, longer, because God knows I want to do that. You know, during end times, I'm like, yeah, I'd like to live 6 more months of this crap. That sounds perfect. I think I'll prolong dying of, you know, a slow, slow death.
But you'll be comforted with comfort food.
Yes. I'll be eating lots of textureless stuff at end times, you know.
That would be wonderful. I love Jim Baker, though.
Yeah.
Because
tell me why you love Jim Baker.
Only because his food that, you know, lasts 25 to 30 years comes in buckets.
Yes.
And he suggests that, you know, empty your bucket out and then you can go poo-poo in your bucket while you're eating your comfort foods.
Oh, awesome. It's a dual.
Dual.
Yeah. He also says dual purpose. He says those buckets also float.
Yeah.
Which I...
You can use them as life preservers.
Yes. Or absolutely. Build a raft.
Yes.
And, you know, I remember one time, Jim Baker, you got to give the guy his props, you know, because initially when you start watching him, you get his message. And then after a certain amount, you're like, dude, really? I think we can broaden your, I think God would be okay with you broadening your niche or your range of what you want to talk about.
Yeah.
But he must be getting very, very popular again.
Yeah.
Because mainstream media is talking about him.
Uh-huh.
And they're making fun of him, of course.
Yeah.
Because if you take him out of context, it's not, it's hard not to, you know, because every show he does is about.
Well, he's on from 5:30 a.m. to 6:30 a.m.
Yeah.
And I'm usually up at that time.
Right.
But I'm not like up.
Yeah.
I'm just having coffee. And I can't.
How did you find him? You just came across him one day?
Just came across it and like lucked out.
Yeah, lucked out. You're like, oh.
And so it's interesting because it's an hour show.
Yes.
But like he'll have a guest on and he can milk that guest for like make it 3 days.
Right.
So basically the guy's giving it an hour, but they edit it to be like 20, 20, 20.
Right.
And the rest of the show is him selling his generators.
Right.
His 35-year food, his buckets.
Right.
You know, anything for apocalyptic end times.
Right. And I have to say this, his prices are pretty comparable to other people's prices.
Yeah.
Actually, better. His prices are better.
So I just don't understand how he does it, but this week if you buy his food, he'll give you an ornament with it.
Oh, an ornament. I love that.
Yeah.
He says it's also he picks his own ornament out for you.
Yes.
So it's self-picked, which makes it even more holy.
More cherished.
Yeah. Like this ornament was picked out for me,
especially for you,
by Jim Baker.
That's right.
Awesome. If you listen to The Blaze once in a while, I don't hear him on the radio because I don't get, you know, very often. Mm-hmm. But he'll sell apocalyptic food.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm only calling it that, I guess, because it's just fun to say apocalyptic food.
Yeah.
Because
it's supposed to say it like, you're supposed to be like, hey, if you're just trying to save money on your food budget.
Yeah. Well, I love how they're expanding their reach.
Yeah.
Because they're saying, hey, and even if it doesn't, if the world doesn't end.
Right.
And we don't go through starvation times or war times.
Yeah. For $1,000, you can buy a year of food.
Hello, $1,000.
The best pancakes ever.
Right. $1,000. Yeah. You can't do that now.
Hell no.
So you go, but I don't think they take, you know, it's like you wonder if they should probably take like the link card or something like that, or food stamps.
Ooh.
That would make people's dollar go really far.
You could stretch it.
You could stretch it. You know, wouldn't that be smart of them?
Well, they are kind of doing something like that.
Right.
For like $100, you can join their club.
Right.
And at the end of a year, you have a year. Or maybe 2 years.
I think you have like 4 years of food.
Oh, 4 years? So yeah. If you give them $100 a month,
right,
at the end of the year, and you don't use the food,
right,
you'll have 4 years of food.
And see,
that's getting smart.
That is getting smart. Yeah. I find it very fascinating because some of the people who are hawking the food, they're talking about, you know, you want to have enough food for not just for you, but for your neighbors.
That's right.
And
especially your unsaved neighbors.
Your unsaved neighbors.
Because, you know, you go, hey, I'm starving. I'm dying here. You got food. Can I have some? Do you believe in Jesus? No.
Come on. You believe in Jesus, don't you?
If you believe, these are the saved packets of food. I will give you this. And then you've just won another soul.
That's right. I think that's what you're going to say.
No, I was just going to say, like, that's how I was when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
I'd save my milk money, and at the end of, like, 3 months, I could buy me a pagan baby.
Right.
And I'd name it Christine Marie.
Of course you would. So why wouldn't you have named it Christine Marie after yourself? There's probably 1,000 pagan babies out there named Christine Marie.
Yes, that's true.
And they're like, I hate that Christine Marie.
Christine Marie, and who knows the last name?
You're like, what's your last name? Marie. What's your first name? Christine. Christine Marie. Wouldn't it be funny if they had a convention, all these pagan babies?
Oh, my God. And I would love to see them.
Would you love to see them?
I'd love to meet them.
Okay. Because
they'd probably be like, I guess they'd probably be back about 7 or 8 years younger than me.
Right. Yeah. So I can definitely see you having this convention of all Christine Marie pagan babies.
Yes.
Nowadays, it just sounds horrible that we did this, that this is what you did. Just sounds horrible, you know, doesn't it?
To buy a baby.
Yeah, you can't buy people like that. You can't buy pagan babies.
And you can buy a star.
That's true. And we're all stars. We're literally just made of stardust anyway.
Yes.
So I guess if you take it from that direction,
yes,
that then we you're allowed to buy stars, so and rename them. They're probably going, you know what, Christine Marie, the person who bought me or whatever and gave me Christine Marie, I would have liked a little more assistance, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, why didn't you keep on supporting me?
Yeah. Hello. It's How about giving me your milk money every day for the rest of your life?
Yeah, exactly.
That
would have
really helped me.
Yeah.
But instead, you just took it away. You named me.
Yeah.
You know, and I for take that name away.
And I guess it's a little short-sighted of me as a second grader.
Yeah.
Like, thinking if I could just buy this baby
and
name it.
Yeah. Their soul would be saved.
Yeah.
And good for you. You know, it made you feel good.
Yeah.
And I think what a wonderful thing the Catholic Church did from taking milk money from kids. And
that was my idea. It wasn't the Catholic Church's idea.
Oh, wasn't it? Okay.
No, I thought about that all myself, you know.
Yeah, but how else were we going to get the money?
That's true. I had to.
Either you're going to steal it from your parents' pocketbook.
Or my grandparents.
Or grandparents.
And I gambled with my grandparents. So I'd go over every day after school and play Penny Annie.
Right.
And literally.
Literally.
Literally. If I was losing, I would cry. I started crying if I would lose. And then they start like actually
losing.
Losing. And so finally I'd be getting some more pennies and more pennies. Finally, I could leave to go home. I'm sure they were like, "Jesus, kid is crazy."
They had no idea what your motive was.
Like, but you know, when I was in Catholic school, though,
yeah.
One thing that we did,
yeah.
That was, you know, like let's say we were going to go play volleyball against it, like St. Augustine. I was right. In St. Joseph,
right?
You know, like before we would go away for an away game, you know, we'd be sitting down, and the Monsignor would come over and say, "Now look." Girls,
right.
We're gonna go play. We're gonna play whatever, you know, volleyball or whatever. But your conduct represents St. Joseph's. It's right. Not just you out there playing soccer or whatever,
right.
Volleyball. It's the school. You represent St. Joseph, and not just the school. Actually, St. Joseph.
St. Joseph, yeah. The saint.
And so we were like on our best behavior.
Right.
When we went to an away game or someplace, because it wasn't just us
right.
That we were playing for. It was the saint himself, the big deal. Not just the school, not
no,
just the church.
The saint.
But the saint himself.
And might as well have been God himself. You were representing God himself.
100%.
Do they say, they won't say Jesus Christ, they would say God,
they
right?
They would say God, the Catholic Church. Yeah.
So,
and I'm starting to wonder now if anybody else in the olden days or whatever had that talk.
Right.
Like this week, we had those basketball players.
And it's been going, that confrontation is still going on. It's a drag.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Between one of the players' dad, who was a basketball player himself,
yep.
and Trump.
Right.
But here's the thing. Didn't UCLA say, okay, we're going to China. Here's the talk. That talk, like you represent not just UCLA, not just yourselves, not just your family, not just America, but you're representing everything that we stand for. You don't go over there and steal Louis Vuitton sunglasses.
No, exactly.
I want everybody to have that talk.
Well, I don't know why they don't have that talk.
Why aren't they having that talk?
Or are they having the talk? And they still are being obnoxious anyway. Because, okay, so you have...
So that talk is not... They're not scaring the bejesus out of them.
So they're talking about... And that group of kids that went over to China. They're not kids. They're in college.
Yeah,
they're not...
They're basketball players.
Yeah. And so obviously... You wanted them to say, yes, we had the talk saying, hey, you're going to stick out like Thor, you know, sore thumbs or Thor thumbs because the Thor thumbs, he's got huge hands. Let me tell you, you should be glad to have Thor thumbs or something like that.
Something like that.
Something like that. But I saw his name is LeVar Ball, right?
Yeah.
And
that's the daddy.
That's the dad.
Yeah.
And I saw him on CNN.
Yeah.
And he was literally being Cuomo. What's his first name?
Chris Cuomo.
Chris Cuomo.
God. Chris Cuomo.
I swear, I think my Lyme disease is back in full bloom because I am not able to put two words together. So we're talking about.
I think it's the carbs, really.
I believe it is. I'm getting.
We're watching, Norm and I are watching Arrested Development one after another.
Yeah.
And at this point, everybody's doing no carbs.
Oh, on the show?
Yeah.
Oh, how funny is that? So anyway, I'm looking at, you know, seeing this Twitter fight between people. And then I also see. You know, Chris Cuomo going after this guard, why can't you just say, going after LeVar Ball, saying, why can't your son just say thanks
to
the president?
Yeah, or him. He was
or him.
To make
or just,
him
why
say
can't you just say thanks?
Because he got him out of the, because there are other kids still in China from other crimes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And see, so you're going, why aren't people having the talk with them?
That's what I'm, and not that's just, my point.
Not just the talk, the yeah. talk with a ruler.
Yeah.
You know, the talk with the hammer going, not to hurt the kids, but saying, yeah. how do I make this, how do I make you guys believe
right.
that this country is different than our country?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
You cannot, you must be on your best behavior.
Yeah.
Not just your best behavior. Like I always tell Hillary, I said, you get upset at work because you want people to perform not to their best ability, but to your best ability.
Right.
You know, I want the head of the university going, you will not just perform to your best ability right. and act at your best. You will act my best.
Right.
You will, I will not, I won't want, I want to read about any of you in the paper unless yeah. you're doing a good deed.
Right.
And I go, and don't do a good deed. I don't even want to read about any of you in the paper.
I want you to be anonymous.
I want you to go in, play, and get out. That's and see, all I
and,
want.
And also, you if you're having the talk, right?
Right.
You're also saying, look, in a country where people are 5 feet tall
yes.
and you're 7 feet,
yeah.
you are going to stand out like a Thor thumb.
Like a Thor thumb. Exactly.
People are going to be looking. People
I don't
are going
know.
To be watching.
And I think, too, this goes back to I was watching this one program. It was Dateline, early morning. Why do I fall? You know, we wrote a book about sleep. And I break the cardinal rule all the time about sleep, which is...
You can get it on Kindle, sleep your way to the top of the morning.
But it's to have, you know, turn off all your electrical devices. I do not do that. I leave my TV on. One reason why is I get scared if I don't have background noise. I'm like, what's that noise? What's
yeah.
that noise?
Oh, it, yeah, yeah, we hear stuff.
I hear stuff all the time. And sometimes I think my refrigerator talks to me. I don't know what to tell you about that, but
stay away from carbs, Julie.
That's what it's saying. Put that carb down.
Put some texture in me.
Exactly. You have salad in here. Use it. It's going bad. So I broke the rule, but I saw on Dateline, and it was this doctor who was giving the talk to kids about not what to do when you see a gun on a table.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't pick up the gun. Mm-hmm. It's bad. Don't do it.
Right.
And he just gave the talk once.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day, he tested them. You know, and they just had cameras. They didn't know they were being tested.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, all the boys were like picking up the gun, like putting it in his face, like just like looking at it, like, this is such a cool gun, man. Awesome, awesome,
oh,
awesome.
Oh my gosh.
And the parents were just appalled. They're yeah. like, we've talked about the gun.
We've had the talk.
And the professor or the doctor, I don't know what the doctor of, says, it doesn't matter if you had the talk once. You have to have it repeated, and you have to give them situations to practice it.
Oh, my God.
And so they did. They practiced a couple of times, like, oh, there's a gun. What are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Ah! And you run and go, a gun. You practice over and over again.
Over and over again.
You run to a parent.
Right.
And then a week or two later, after practicing, they gave the same situation again, but they didn't know they were being filmed
right.
or it was happening.
Right.
And the kids, the one kid that saw the gun first performed beautifully. And he went, oh, God, we got to run to our parents, you
right,
know?
Right.
Now, the other kids that were lagged behind, I don't know what they would have done because they were, like, looking at the gun like, yeah, it's a gun. But because the first kid already said, we got to go tell our parents.
Yeah, oh, good.
They're like, okay, we got to go tell our parents. But
So that's what helps when the
yes.
talk. So basically, like with the basketball players, they didn't have the talk enough.
Enough. And they didn't act out scenarios.
Like when you were
yes.
you were kids, I know that you know you were talking to Quinn about the Me Too thing.
Yes. Because she said she posted some stuff on Me Too, her and her friend did.
Right.
And I didn't want to pry too much. I figured she'd let me know what it was
right.
when she wanted to.
Right.
And I said, yeah. And I told her about your situations and my situations. Just had a really open conversation. As open it can be without prying too much.
Yeah, that's exactly.
You know. And I said, you know, but here's the deal about my parents.
Well, you were telling that you and Greg were in a movie theater,
yes.
and a kind of a pedophile had approached you guys.
Yes,
but because we had the talk, even though
yes.
we were only 8 or 9, which you couldn't do today.
Yeah,
but,
you couldn't drop your kids off at 9 years old at a rated
R rated movie.
Yes,
you could back then.
Right, I remember you guys.
I'm like, you guys love this movie.
Yeah, in a double feature, which they did back then. They don't do that now.
Yeah,
you know, it was like
and cartoons too.
Yeah, Fantasia 2 or and you know,
Phantasm
2 and Friday the 13th 4.
Yeah,
that's like 4 hours of the you know, go for it, kids. Your mom and dad need some time alone. It's like, okay, we'll go watch it. I can remember watching, you know, shows with my hand over my face the entire time. Please let this stop. Please let this stop. And so, you know, I remember specifically this guy behind came behind us and just making weird noises, like kissy face noises, mm-hmm. and talking really weird stuff.
Yeah.
And so I go, oh, and I remember back in all the training my parents had given us, like, oh, this is what a pedophile does. This guy wants to be gross with us, yeah. or just harass us.
Right.
And so I got my brother up, you know, my 7-year-old brother. Come here.
He's like, no, Julie, I'm watching this R-rated movie.
I mean, we might be pushing the extremes a little bit here, but that's okay. Good for the story. And I moved us to a different group of people that were older.
Right.
And he followed us and he made some more comments. And one of the guys around us said, knock it off. Like, dude, what are you doing?
Right.
And so I felt safe. And then when we were waiting in the lobby, of course, we'd have to call you then to say, hey, the movie's over. And then 25 minutes later, you pick us up.
Yeah.
And typically we were waiting outside on the curb, you know, because I closed the theater. And, you know, that guy was there looking at us the whole time.
Oh, my God.
And I had my brother in my hand. I'm like, you know, I know who you are. You're not going to take us, you know.
That's right, because you had practiced.
We had practiced. And we got lucky that one because he chose to be weird, you know.
Just annoying.
Just annoying. Weird. I mean, he could have taken us, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I knew what he was doing. And so I made sure that we were never alone.
Right.
You know. And I made sure I never let go of my brother's hand ever. But it's interesting because we had practiced it. What do? When you hear these, you know. And so I don't think. So having the talk needs practice. Mm-hmm. I remember I tried this with Quinn one time when she was growing up. They did not appreciate it as much as I.
What?
I think I would say stuff like, okay, let's do role play. You know, like, what happens if a guy wants to do this to you? And what are you going to say? Like, no. They're like, Julie, we get it. We understand. I'm like, you may understand, but don't you want to role play? Isn't this fun?
Isn't this great?
It's great. We'll role play it out. Like, no, not really.
This is not fun for us.
And you're not my mother. No, they didn't say that. But I'm like, I know, but no. So you can't pass that down. Sometimes you have to have a willing participant.
Yeah.
And your kids were willing
to
act it out.
Yes.
They didn't give you the, like, oh, no, mother, please, we know.
Yeah.
We know. And so you wonder, you know, I think about the Olympic team. And I always thought of the Olympics and their participants and the athletes as being this high moral character
people. Yes, like you represent the United States of America.
Or your own country. And not only are you great athletes,
you've
got great moral fiber and great moral character.
Right.
Oh, I was mistaken. Because I only
Unless
later,
you are.
Yeah, lucky.
Yeah.
But no, but I then you hear stories about how the Olympic Village is just this whore fest.
It's just a syphilis lady.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And you're going, what? I didn't know this went down at the Olympic Village. This is crazy.
Yeah.
And then you hear a story about how in the last Olympics, Lockheed and his other swimmer buddies went out, you know, and started to have fun and, like, destroyed a bathroom.
Yeah.
And was on camera and then lied about it.
Yeah. And then said they were like, they had to fight their way out of the bathroom.
Yes. Exactly.
I think it was something like that.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. So you go, oh, my God, you know, how does this go? How does this work? When, you know, did they not have, maybe the Olympics don't have the conversation with their Olympians. Because they assume that these guys are really trained athletes and they got great moral character. They wouldn't be caught dead being dicks.
Destroying a tampon box in a bathroom.
Yeah,
or
doing whatever
in
somebody else's country.
Right.
And then you go, oh, no, they did.
Yeah.
They were fools.
They're douches.
Yeah, so I guess they didn't have the talk.
Yeah.
Or if they did, no one was listening because they all had their earbuds on.
Yeah.
Or they're tweeting, oh, my coach is giving me a good talk right now, everyone.
Yeah.
Let's get motivated for the Olympics.
Yeah.
You know, tweet, you know.
This is so depressing.
Life is depressing.
Like you'd want, like, here's the thing. When I was like 5 or 6, my parents had one of many talks with me. And at five, I guess it was five, I learned that, guys will try to get, it's guys,
their job
to get away with whatever they can get away with.
That was your talk.
That was my talk.
Yeah.
And it's up to the girl to set the boundary.
I love it.
So I'm 5 years old.
So a 200 pound man, which they weren't 200 pounds back then, but let's say
probably not
150 versus a 100 pound girl. Yeah, that seems fair that you would have to be the one that says no.
Yeah. It's my fault. I had to learn that it was like whatever happened to me, it was because I let it.
You let it. Yeah, there was that talk. And I think nowadays that talk does not occur. That's not the talk that girls get. Hopefully not. I don't know. But I don't know what the talk they get now. You know, because I think, so I'm hoping that I hope that people get the talk. They never do. Mm-hmm. Or if they get the talk, because we're really basically morons, that we need multiple talks and reinforcement.
Frequency, reinforcement.
Yes.
They're saying just the idea of, like I was understanding branding more.
Yeah.
And it said the only thing that works is frequency, consistency,
yeah.
You know, over and over again. And then finally, you know, you've branded yourself, which is like that LeVar Ball thing.
Yeah.
That he was just trying to brand himself.
Right. Well, and don't you just hate the world now that everything has to be about a brand? You have to brand yourself. I have to represent my own brand, and my brand is sassy and sexy. So I can be sassy and sexy. You know, you're just like, what the heck's going on here in the world? You know, it's crazy. But you know, we talk about this idea of brand, of like each person now has to have their own personal brand. It drives me up the wall because what I hear from people now, like, well, this is my brand. What, you know, back in the day, or I was playing over the weekend that new game called Code Names, I think mm-hmm. it's called. And, you know, you have like 25 different nouns or verbs or whatever thing, and you're supposed to give clues. And one of the clues I got was brands. And I knew right away it was Mercury and Saturn were the only brands on the table.
Yeah, that's a brand.
That's like a brand.
Crest.
Yeah. And now you have to think of yourself as your own personal brand.
You're your brand.
You are your brand. And I think that's distorted. I think that distorts a person's brain.
I think so.
Are you part of the collective then?
If you're your own brand, then how can I give you the talk that says, no, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You don't represent yourself when you go to St. Augustine's.
No.
You represent St. Joseph.
Yes.
You represent God.
Yeah. God is your brand.
That's right.
God is your brand.
And
not
looking at
your brand.
That's right.
So do God's best,
that's
not
right.
Your best.
That's right.
Because your brand is, I'm a little bit naughty. Yeah. I'm a little bit this.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit rock and roll.
I'm sassy.
I'm sassy and sexy. And I go into bathrooms and I just create havoc everywhere I go.
That's right.
Because I don't get caught because I'm a little bit this.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a little bit that. You know.
My brand is like, I like eyeshadow and dark lipstick.
Yeah, that's my brand. That's who I am.
Yeah.
Don't be mad at me.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, but you're at this point, you're representing my brand. And our brand is St. Joseph's School or the Olympics or the United States of America or UCLA.
Yeah.
And our brand trumps your brand.
That's right.
And I don't mean Trump in the presidential way.
Although I'm sure that when LeVar Ball when Trump was tweeting against him, like, he should thank me. I felt like, oh my God, I'm seeing like Godzilla versus Mothra.
Yeah.
This is like my brand is, is big $500 sneakers.
Yes.
And Trump is, but that's your brand, but I'm a reality show brand.
And that's the biggest thing. I mean, I guess in so many ways, how could we not have Trump be our president this time in our lives?
Right.
He is nothing but a brand.
That's right.
He is nothing but a brand.
And a reality brand.
And, you know, I told you before, I've given up the hate, you know.
I know, you're like, you've fallen out of hate.
Out of hate, which is good, because I just can't hold it in any longer.
You'll
I'll live longer. Yeah. We'll talk about that, because that was an interesting statistic.
Yeah.
Especially since our brand is about stress now.
Yes, exactly.
But I was watching Vice, and they were talking about, I love Vice on HBO because for the first 5 or 6 minutes, they give you an update of what's going on for the day.
Right.
And I don't consider them progressive, liberal, conservative.
They attack
everybody.
Yeah. Right.
And if you hear otherwise, you're hearing it wrong.
Right.
Because I've witnessed them attacking everyone.
Right.
And They were
an equal opportunity destroyer.
Exactly. Wherever the story takes them, right? But they were talking about flat earthers. And they don't judge. They just let them talk for mm-hmm. themselves. Mm-hmm. And when they went to a flat earth convention. And first of all, I was fascinated with the fact they were all a bunch of hippies. You know, 40 and older, 50 and older, 60 and older.
Hippies.
Hippies. They looked the hippie part.
Yeah.
And they talked a little bit like my language, which is like the spiritual language. Mm-hmm. And like this, this, and this. And I go, wow, they had their, you know, the Atlanteans did this. And it's just all been a conspiracy that the federal government has done. And it's been just crazy. You know, it's just been crazy about how this this flat earth thing has been going on. And I was looking into it a little bit more because these people were so convicted mm-hmm. with their thoughts. They're mm-hmm. like, well, this is great, man. This is, I mean.
I'm really a flat earther.
I'm a flat earther. And it more looks like a turnip sometimes. Or like, it's a flat earth with a globe over it. It's very interesting how they perceive it. Mm. And so... I think it's just a way
to meet chicks.
Oh, I think it's a way to get YouTube hits.
Yeah.
Because I was looking it up, and then I looked at this one man, mm-hmm. and in November, he said, flat earther to launch himself in homemade rocket. Now, a California Whoa. Man has built himself a steam-powered rocket, which he is using to propel himself.
Steamed?
1,800 feet in the air to gain, not to see if the earth is flat.
Uh-huh.
Because he believes that, no problem, yeah. it's flat.
You don't have to prove
but
to me.
But to gain attention for his favorite cause. To spread the idea that the earth we all live on is flat. Well, thank you, dude. And his name is Mad Mike Hughes. And he spent just $20,000 for this rocket.
Wow.
And I love the fact that he's saying, yeah, this rocket cost me a lot of money. It cost me 20 grand for the rocket and 10 for the motor. And I'm thinking, dude, you're going to put yourself in a rocket that costs as much as a used, you know, Ford, you know, truck. I mean, dude, I don't know. I mean, 1,800 feet in the air.
And steam powered. I mean, what is it? Does it take like a ton of coal?
Exactly. I don't know. I mean, come on. You know, that's just crazy, right? And so, but I'm reading this going, what is this point? What's the point of this guy doing
it? He wants to draw attention to his
cause.
That's
his brand. His brand is, I'm a flat earther. Beyond anything else, I may have kids and grandkids and a wife to take care of, but before any of that stuff, I
want you to see me as
a flat earther.
Yeah.
And in this article, he's quoted as saying, I'm a walking reality show. And I'm like, boom.
Boom.
Boom. There it is.
There's your brand. That's what you want.
Because deep down, everybody wants to be a Kardashian because they go, they don't even work. There's just people who are just giving them money. They're just giving them money.
I just want to have my own reality show. You should just follow me for a day. And look at how crazy I am.
I'll
get like, you know, 2 million hits.
Yeah.
And then a producer will look at me and go, this guy can bring it.
He can bring it.
I'll put together some, I'll produce a little 30-minute reality show. Let's see if we can sell it to E.
Exactly.
And let's get, and I not think even we, E, I would say Get TV.
Yeah, Get, oh, great.
That's like 200 and something. I watched Get TV this weekend.
Did you?
Yeah.
That's 200 something what?
The channels.
Oh, okay.
Like 200
Got
something.
It. Okay. Yeah. Good.
I mean, if they can make Get TV,
they can put
me and you on a reality show.
That's right. I don't want to be on a reality show.
You don't want to?
No, not one bit. I mean, because
even
first,
with Mick, oh, Chrissy, you got some splaining to do.
Yeah, that would be me every time. That would be our show. Like, really, Christine, what's going on with this? What check have you written that I have to cash? You know, what other thing has gone on? Here's the problem. Is that if you are your brand, then and you believe that means that you have to be your brand 24/7.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't be me. Because if you had to add up my hours to the day, I think my brand would be lethargic. Lazy
reflective.
Butt. Reflective. Excuse me. Let's reframe that.
Yes.
Let's reword that. I'm very reflective. I'm always in a meditative state. I'm very relaxed. You know, I'm always on the verge of taking a nap. You know, I mean, if you look at my whole
brand
day.
Your brand is Lyme.
Yeah, that's true. My brand is Lyme disease right now.
Right.
So that I think would be my brand if you take a whole snapshot, because I'm certainly not glamour girl, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and so forth. And you were telling me how you were watching this beauty pageant.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was watching a just going through the channels, right, and saw a promo for a beauty pageant, and I was like, wow, these girls are skinny. I could see their like ribs and stuff,
right?
And come to find out, it was a transgendered beauty pageant.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So I'm like, oh, I want to see that. I've got it. I can't wait. I wonder who's going to be a judge on that one.
Right. Well, it's fascinating to me, the transgendered beauty show, because beauty pageant, excuse me. It's just one more way for me to feel lack, you know, yeah. Like, oh, these girls are beautiful, more beautiful than I can ever be. Yeah. You know, they really know how to work it.
They know how to work it,
yeah,
girl.
Yeah, they working it, girl. And I find it, I just, when I was growing up, I had a concept in my mind that if you were transgendered, you would just be then female or male once you transgendered over.
Yeah, that's, you know, what you
the
wanted.
The transgender is like a process.
Yeah.
And then you become the, on the other side, you know, you made it through the, you know, you were a little late, you know, you were in the cocoon, uh-huh, and then you broke free and now you're a butterfly.
That's right.
And you are what you are.
Right.
Not
transgender. Anymore.
No, now it's a whole different thing. It's, yeah, transgendered.
Yeah. Because some days you may be a butterfly and some days you may go back to the cocoon.
And then be the little caterpillar.
That's
you
right.
You never know.
Yeah.
And I was listening to Dan Savage, who's kind of changed his tune a little bit since the new culture come. A
little bit.
So he would have somebody, I think it was interesting, he had somebody write in or call in about his kink that he likes to do this. And he says, dude, you can do that, but in this culture, realize there's going to be blowback if you get caught.
Yeah.
There's going to be blowback.
Yeah. If you want to do this kink, do it in a place to that kink happens.
Right.
Don't do it out in the world.
Right. There are kink rooms. There are sex clubs. Do it there. But you can't do it out in public.
Right.
I'm like, thank you, Dan Savage, for doing this.
Right.
For start saying some of the truths behind other stuff. Yeah. Because people don't get the whole talk. They behave differently. We need to get the whole talk.
Get the talk.
Get the whole talk.
Get the talk often.
Yeah. Practice the talk. We'll act it out.
Have some role play.
And it was so interesting because I felt very, I felt angry at this one caller and also very, like, compassionate. Like, I had a lot of compassion for this, mm-hmm, person because, mm-hmm, I didn't know how to handle it.
Yeah.
And it was
couldn't wrap your brain around
no.
it.
No. She presented herself as a female.
She presents as a female.
Right.
But which means to me that she was born
female.
Female.
Right.
Okay.
But she's a gay man.
But she...
She sees herself as a gay
she
man.
She sees herself as a gay man.
He sees himself as a gay man. And...
Wait, you said he. Oh, yeah right, because okay. He sees himself as a man. Okay.
But he's choosing not to have any operations or any hormones.
Yeah, he's choosing to do it all on his own without any kind of surgery or hormones.
Basically, he doesn't, in his mind, he thinks of himself as a man, mm-hmm, a gay man, mm-hmm, but he completely presents as a female.
And he was upset that he could not find other gay men,
right,
to have sex with because they, in their stupidity,
yeah,
saw him as a woman.
As a woman.
Which no. She's presenting as a woman.
Yes. I mean, she is biologically, and she probably, you know, looks like a female.
Yeah.
And she certainly sounded like a female.
Definitely.
I mean, there was no, yeah, there was
but
no
she was
hormone
upset
affecting.
With the culture that she was having difficulty finding gay men to have sex with her.
And I thought, you are asking a lot of people, person.
Yep.
You know.
People who need people.
And I, so at one side, I was really mad at her because I thought, you know, mad at him because I'm like, dude, you really can't expect a gay man who likes to have sex with men to think, oh, hey, by the way, I'm going to now have sex with a person that really looks like a female.
Yeah, and but is.
And is a female.
Yeah.
Not just looks like one, but is one.
Yeah.
Only in your, in the person's mind is a gay man.
Right.
And
you're supposed to, like, read her mind.
Right.
And get at that, I'm really a gay man.
I'm really a gay man.
You can have really and great gay sex.
Yes. I remember, that's exactly right. I remember being at McDonald's, and I was.
I know.
It reminds me of how this person who's presenting himself as a guy,
right,
to the world,
right,
very hands-on guy,
right,
you know, gave me my coffee and my iced tea, and I go, thank you, sir,
You're and so friendly.
I was so friendly. And he goes, I'm a woman. I'm like, all right then.
Don't call me sir.
Don't call me sir. I'm a woman. I'm like, okay then. And then all of a sudden, I think it's like that spectrum where it taints the real story.
Yeah. Oh, Julie.
Yes, it taints. You said taint. No, it taints. But I think it taints the real story. Sorry. I think it affects.
Say fluff or two.
No, I think it affects the real story.
Okay.
Because then you go, you want to say the world is crazy. Mm-hmm. But then you
the
go.
The world is crazy. We got North Korea going to bomb the world, going to nuke
maybe
the world.
Maybe that's the whole
and
point.
And you got to get up in the morning and
worry about it. I can't say thank you, sir, for coffee.
Right. Even to a man.
Who's presenting himself as a man.
Who's presenting himself as a man that
even
day.
Even though they may feel
they
like a woman.
They felt like a woman.
Yeah. Listen, I like that song, too.
I feel like a woman.
I love that song. It makes me happy. But...
And you know what? Wasn't your day kind of bummed out that day?
I was bummed out because I am such a progressive person.
Not only that, but you're so friendly.
I'm so friendly.
Thank you for my coffee, sir.
Yeah.
Don't call me, sir. I'm a woman.
I'm like, oh, okay. And then I had to call my millennial people that I know and say, what do I do? It's like, we're no longer using pronouns, so don't worry about it.
Don't worry about pronouns.
Yeah, don't even go there. Just say thank you. No pronouns are being used in this world anymore. Uh-huh. I'm like, oh. Okay.
Yeah.
No pronouns.
Yeah. Merry Christmas. Oh, I can't put Christ in Christmas anymore.
Yeah. Merry Xmas.
X-Men.
X-Men. Yeah. Is that? Oh, no. Not men. X-Men. No. No.
X-People.
X-People. That should
people.
Be it.
Streisand was right. People who need people. We're just people.
Yeah.
We're just people.
Are the happiest and the loneliest.
Living in a flat world.
Yes. We're people living in a flat world, and thank God.
And we're all branded.
Yes.
Like cattle.
No, seriously. Doesn't it feel like it?
Yeah. You just said seriously. I want to say goodbye to Sirius Radio because I've had it free for like 2 weeks now, and I have enjoyed it so much. I heard Casey Kasem last week, just, you know, live, doing his 70s. I'm listening to the 70s stuff.
Yeah, in the 70s.
So good.
Yeah.
We had good songs in the 70s.
You did. A lot of songs that were about, that would not fly a day, but
no,
yes.
About men and women.
Yeah.
But my favorite that I heard yesterday.
Yes.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
Diddle, 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 diddle.
Everybody was fast as lightning.
Diddle, 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 diddle.
That was a great song.
That was a great song.
Did you know the guy who, Casey Kasem said, the guy who wrote that song was Jamaican and not kung fu-ish and lived in England?
Oh, well, hello.
Did you not know that?
I did not know that. Yeah. Nor did I really care. I didn't think that I was lacking in anything. But now I realize
now
I
you
was.
Know. You're just
I
like,
was lacking that whole
have
time.
A little bit of tidbit here.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome.
You know what? When you listen to Life with a Girlfriends, I hope you have a good time. And I also know that during this time, I think that you learned something. And so we learned
I
something today.
I hope that we stretched your brain a little bit.
Yes. Because what we like for this hour is for our brains to stretch. And because it feels so good.
We want your brains to have stretch marks.
Well, you know what? It's healthier that way, isn't it? That's the whole point of your brain. It has to have stretch marks.
That's right.
The new blood flow comes in and you build new synapses and you're like, yay.
The little, was it called telomeres? Is that those
telomeres
things that are
on your DNA?
Yeah. In your brain.
We wish you all long telomeres.
Yes.
You know?
I wasn't long. What long telomeres, Julie?
Well, we don't have much time. We have zero time, but we should share this one statistic.
What?
Even if it could possibly help one person.
Yes, which is our job.
It's just help one person.
Just one day.
Yes.
The one person is listening to us.
Yes, please. Which is each other. No. Yeah. So you read that.
No, I heard on Fox.
I heard on Fox.
Yeah.
That because we've been doing a lot of research
on stress.
We're writing
a book on stress. Yeah.
And as I'm getting my master's and my capstone is on stress.
Yes.
We've been reading a lot about it and doing a lot of research on it. And they said on Fox that if you deal with stress by getting angry.
This is for men.
For men.
Not women.
By getting angry.
Right.
What happens is it shortens your life by 35 years. Than your counterparts who don't deal with stress by getting angry.
Getting angry.
And I thought that statistic alone is fabulous.
Scared straight.
Scared straight, no kidding. Like, you better get your...
You feel stress? I'm going to suggest blueberry pancakes.
Yes, comfort food, meditation, or like
weed.
And I thought to myself, this is really the best thing that could possibly happen, though.
Yeah.
Because who's going to want to take care of an older person who is angry?
Who's crabby and angry.
Yeah. Yeah, nobody.
No.
So, you know.
That's best they best they leave the planet early.
Yes, best they leave the planet early and
I
go
thought,
on
I
to the
I think
next...
you called it God's plan.
I thought that, I did. I go, God's plan. Thank God for this plan. Because. I did call it God's plan and thank God for this plan because, come on, dual meaning right there, dual meaning. Because, come on, I mean, really, how are we going to do this?
That's
how
right.
can you take care of
right.
people who
That's
are right. so angry
yeah.
when they're stressed out? It's just, it can't fly.
Kind of like on Arrested Development. We'll find a way because, like, they're builders at heart, you know,
yeah.
the family on Arrested Development. And what they do now is they have out in the desert, they have their new residential, you know, houses and stuff,
yeah.
and it's all for pedophiles
oh.
because they found their niche that pedophiles have to be you let the neighborhood know if you're
right.
if you're a
and who wants to have a pedophile in your neighborhood?
They have a hard time finding places, but they now have
Their own subdivision.
That they have their own subdivision.
And probably a gated community, I'm guessing.
Yes.
You know? And I think that's a brilliant idea.
Yes.
Good
keep
job,
it behind
Arrested.
Gate.
You know what? Don't you love it when Arrested Development or any show just... It's like just a hint of reality.
Yeah.
And you're going, now, even though that idea is yeah. absurd
yeah.
and asinine,
yeah.
it's the
brilliant.
Most brilliant idea ever, and it should happen.
Remember in the 70s when we had just moved here to the Chicago area, we lived near O'Hare.
Yeah.
What did I say? I
said, why don't they have people who are deaf or hearing impaired
yeah.
live by the airport?
Yeah.
And I said, I don't know why.
I don't know
because
why.
Because you know what? That would be really unethical. But you go, but it would just make total
it
sense.
It makes sense.
You know?
Yeah.
There are probably like 100 million things that we could go, this is just logical.
Yeah.
You know, why can't we do this?
Yeah.
And
but
then,
oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. We can't even have pronouns anymore.
No. They're taking all of our rights to just act like common sense. Like, no judging.
Yeah.
I'm not judging you.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we have to have buttons.
Yeah. What, don't we have a new, like, instead of sir or miss or whatever, there's a new term? Isn't there something?
Them. Yeah. Thank you.
There's something.
Got
thank
it.
You.
Oh, yeah, there is. There might
is.
Be.
Yeah.
But I think
Uzbekistan or something. Or,
oh, no.
No, something like
yeah.
that.
How about just Stan? Thank you, Stan.
Thank
you, Stan. Thank you,
Stan.
Yeah, Terry.
Yeah.
All right,
oh,
Terry.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you, Terry.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
Lindsay.
Yeah. Good morning, Terry. Good morning, Lindsay. Yeah. Just do that.
Yeah.
We're going to start doing that
that's
now.
That's it.
Yeah. Hey,
Terry.
Thank you, Terry.
Or yeah. Chris.
Yeah, Chris. I love it. Thank you, Chris. I'm not Chris. I go, well, that's my pronoun now.
Yeah.
I don't know who's who.
Yeah.
You know.
It's just
so I'm
Chris.
Just calling everybody Chris.
Chris.
Non-gendered name.
Chris Marie. There was enough of them.
There could be enough banging babies.
You're probably.
Exactly.
You're probably going to have a good chance of having a Chris.
So I want to say thank you for listening to our show today. It's been all over the map. The new earther.
The flat earth
the flat
map.
Earth map.
That's right.
And we hope you've enjoyed our ride.
And you know, for you parents out there, it's not too soon to start giving your kids the talk.
And
whatever
then,
talk it is, give it to them.
Give
and
it, to,
give
them
it
often.
To them often.
And then act it out.
And then role play.
Role play.
Yes.
Until they pass the test.
Yes.
And do assessments. That's okay.
100%.
So, girlfriend, how was the show?
It was great.
It was great.
It was great.